start in a quick prayer, if you don't mind. Oh God, I give you this time, these words, I give you this stage to have your will be done. Awaken our senses to receive your whisperings and revelations. Awaken our hearts to your Holy Spirit. Awaken us to transformation and action. Thank you, God. So one experience that we all are familiar with is waking up. And we do it at least once a day, sometimes more than once a day, right? It can look like that, be a simple alarm clock. Sometimes we go out for a quick run to jog the body, a quick dip in some very cold water. That wouldn't be my choice, right? No. Or we get a jolt, physically or spiritually, to wake up. Whichever way you decide to wake up, you know, sometimes it's pleasant and sometimes it's not. But I was looking at this definition here, and I want to hold on to this throughout the presentation. It says, awakening is heightened state of awareness. It's two things. It's this heightened state of awareness and a readiness for action. We need both, right? Recently, a fire alarm went off in my home, and I was the only one to hear it. It went off three times. Everyone else was asleep. So I'm a little hesitant being up here this weekend. I'm hoping if a fire alarm really goes off, maybe the dog would wake up. But, you know, some of us we like our sleep. Like Shannon was mentioning last night, we like our sleep. So getting moving and making that transition could be challenging. But we need to, right? So we see awake as a transition. We're asleep to awake, something is changing. Something is about to be enacted. Something is about to be stimulated, and we need to be ready to move. That's what awake means to me. I want to dive into Judges 5. And it wasn't the verse for this weekend specifically, but there's a lot we can learn here. In Judges 5, if you take your time, you can turn to it. We're going to read a couple verses. Israel was rebellious, and God handed them over to Jabin, king of Canaan. But there was Deborah. Deborah was a prophet, and she was judging Israel at the time. Israel was coming to her, and Deborah prophesied to Barak that God commands him to go and conquer Jabin's army. So you can, before we even get to Judges 5, Judges 4 tells the story and Judges 5 recounts it. So in 4:14, it says, go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So Deborah awoke Barak to a heightened sense of a mission. And Barak awoken Israel to take action. And that's how it is in our lives. Sometimes we get the signal. Sometimes we receive it. Hey, take action. I want you to be in place. I want your heart to be ready. And sometimes we dismiss it. And sometimes we miss an opportunity, right? So when Deborah told Barak to awake, Barak's response was, okay, if you go with me. And Deborah, of course, said yes, but Barak missed out on his blessing. So I'd encourage you to read that a little bit more later on today. But when we don't respond to the call, we miss out on the blessing. And the victory went on because God will find someone to enter into the battle, to stand in the gap, to take on that battle. And if it's not you, you miss your blessing. So if we can read from Judges 5:12, it says, awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, sing a song. Arise, Barak, and lead your captives away. If we jump down to 20, we'll see the actual actions, you know. They brought from the heavens, they fought from the heavens. The stars from their courses fought against Sisera. In 21, the torrent of Kishon swept them away, that ancient torrent, the torrent of Kishon, or my soul, march on in strength. And I just like the visualization of the heavens coming down to fight for me, and the stars from their courses, they line up for my benefit. You know, if I have a trial going on, I picture all that going on. Like, God is just at work, right? I can enact my fate. I can respond. I can do what I can do here, which is very limited. But I believe that God, even before that battle even came upon me, he is lining it up. The heavens are opening. The angels are singing. They're encamping around me. Everything is going to work in my favor. And that's what it says in 20 and 21. Everything came down to work in the favor of Deborah, Barak, and ultimately Israel. And again, kind of going back to what Cher was saying, sometimes we get awakened in a call and we think, wow, is that for me? Maybe. It could be for you, but it could be for you for others, right? And that's often the case because we're all connected, right? We believers, through the Holy Spirit, we're all connected. So if God says, awake to this mission, it's your mission, but there's a greater purpose. Don't miss out on the blessing of being a part of that bigger story, right? For that very last part, my soul march on in strength. That's a brave heart moment, right? Usually we can claim that after the victory, but we need to sometimes stand in that even before the victory, right? And we see the trials and we see everything that's working against us, but it's like those promises, right? We stand up and we say, my soul march on in strength. And we hold that banner high. At the very end of Judges 5:31, it says, thus, let all your enemies perish, O Lord. But let those who love him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength. In full strength. Those two things, again, battle cries, right? The sun coming out in full strength to combat the darkness, to combat whatever the trial is. Deborah's heightened state of awareness of the mission spread beyond her and Barak, and together they were both ready to take action. So just a few takeaways from this section. And I probably should have said, so sorry. So I'm going to, my verse is, awake, awake, put on your strength. So we're going to talk about awake, we're going to talk about put on, then we're going to talk about strength. So wrapping up the awake, there are a couple takeaways. Always be ready to listen. It's like those women who keep their lamps lit. Keep your lamp lit. Stay in the word, all the things that Cher talked about. Stay in the word. Stay, you know, keep captive those thoughts, those doubts. But keep our lamps lit. We want God to incline his ear to us. I know that's my prayer always. You know, dear God, I'm praying this for my family. I'm praying this for my friends. I'm praying this for myself. Incline your ear to what I'm saying. But we need to incline our ears to him as well, right? That's our response. And then I know some of us have that Amazon Echo in our house. What is that Amazon or any one of those devices? What does it do? It's always listening. A little scary, yeah. I'm not getting one. It's always listening. It's listening for that cue, right? Well, we need to be like that Amazon Echo and listen for the cue of God, right? When God, we have to be always ready to hear, what is he saying to me right now at this point in my life? What is he saying through this challenge? What is he telling me, commanding me, instructing me, encouraging me to do? Like this, we have to be ready to listen. So we want to be Amazon Echoes in a good way, right? Also, let's not be Barak, right? I mean, Barak went and that ignited the victory. But he said to Deborah, if you go with me, I will go. I will surely go with you. So then Deborah responded, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking. I don't want that. You know, if I'm fighting, gotta get the glory, right? But we, yeah. So let's not be Baraks. All right. As we move on to put on. Really, this is the verb in the awake, awake, put on your strength. It's the only part that is asking for some action. And God, and funny thing, as I was studying, well, not so funny, interesting thing, is that in the Bible, there are a lot of instructions to put on. In Corinthians, it says, put on incorruption. Ephesians says, put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the devil's schemes. More specifically, Ephesians says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Colossians says, put on love. It says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Ephesians says, put on a new, the new man, which was created according to God. So it had me reflect on why all these instructions to put on? Well, generally, I think there are two reasons. Protection and aesthetics. That's why we put on anything, right? Think of a fireman. And a fireman is in uniform to say, number one, I'm an emergency responder. Recognize me and my role. Recognize what I'm here to do. A fireman also has protective gear to protect him from the environment and the hazards that surround him. So all these instructions to put on, I think they still fall into those two categories. God is telling us to put on these things for our protection and to put on these things for aesthetics. And for aesthetics, I mean to stand out. Show yourself. Let it be known that you are clothed in these things. Put it on, right? So for your protection, pretty obvious, because we are under, you know, there will be attacks. And the other one, to stand out. So there is purpose. There is purpose to putting on. It is where we act. It is where we take action. And we put it on for a purpose and a mission. To stand out and to withstand. Amen?
Amen.
All right. All right. The last part of that verb is strength. Awake, awake, put on your strength. And I'll slow down with strength because I have a little, strength has been a challenge for me. Strength, when you think of it, often thinks of, sounds like an action word. It sounds like there's something you have to do, right? You think you exercise to become physically stronger. You study to become intellectually stronger. You take vitamins to build up your resistance. You study Dave Ramsey to get your finances stronger. You wear shoulder pads to get the silhouette stronger. Okay, that's over it. But strength to me sometimes feels like work, right? But I was challenged in that misconception throughout this. So let's do this as I walk you through it. If you have a pen and paper, write down this, but if you don't, just think of it. So if everyone can take just 30 seconds and write down a word or phrase that describes your strength, your personal strength. Take 30 seconds. What are you good at? Someone says, oh, she's so good at, or she that's her strength. If you can think about that in 30 seconds, jot it down. So whatever you wrote, if you look at it, probably makes you smile, right? You feel good about it, and you should. Because people associate you with this and they say, oh, she's so good at. It's probably something that you've worked on, probably something that you've improved over the years. It took work. Sometimes, so I'll give you a story. I'll dive into these stories. I was in the airport as a really young person, and this just speaks to the lies that we consume sometimes. I had two huge duffel bags, and I strapped one across me this way and one across me that way. And there were, you know, the regular porters asking, you know, do you need help? No, I don't need help. Do you not see me? I can do this. And I felt so proud just muscling through the airport with these two bags. I was 20-something, you know, but I'm like, I can do this. Watch me. I'm woman. I can roar, you know? And I look back at that and think, why? Why do that, right? Why does that describe my strength? Why does that? So there is, again, going back to strength and work, something I had to work at. I don't know if that's necessarily true. But let's go back to the word that you wrote down. So maybe it's a sport that you play well and you say, oh, wow, you're really good at that. Hey, and you get more and more people saying, oh, you're really good at that. You start to associate your identity with that. Oh, I'm a good speaker. I'm a good runner. I'm a good mom. You know, you start to place your identity in that. You start to think, oh, I'm pretty proud of that. I've worked at that. Yeah, thank you, you know, until someone comes along and they're better than you. Right? And then you get deflated. It happens all the time, right? So whatever that word is, own it. Feel good about it, yes. But to be honest, it's a risk, right? Because now you've placed your identity and worth and pride in that word. And that word is fragile. That quality is fragile. It's really not even a strength, you know? It might be a quality. It might just be a skill. It might just be something that is good, but not something to put all your hope in, right? Because there's always someone smarter, faster, prettier, better. This has been a season for me, too, where God has been challenging some of those things, you know. Oh, so you think you're good at that. Why do you place so much value in that? Maybe I'm ready to show you something else. Maybe you should put your trust in me instead, right? So that trait is fickle. It could go away, it could diminish, it could lose value, the trading currency could go down, it could be tested and fail. And that is not where we put our value. If only there was something, something more reliable, something we could depend on, regardless of circumstances. Suppose there was something that was guaranteed to stand the test, that was going to be strong today and strong tomorrow. Wish there was something like that. Well, let's look at a few verses. So this says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. God is our strength. Right? Proverbs says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. His name is our strong tower and keeps us safe. Samuel says, it is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. Nehemiah, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isaiah, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and keep you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. All these promises, right? It's not in something fleeting. It's not in something that's passing. It's not in something that's fickle. It's not in something that will be tested and failed. It is in something that will stand strong, as in Exodus. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. He is my strength and my song. I have a little visualization here. So there's that big picture on your right-hand side, your left-hand side. And it's a tree being trained to stand upright with a pole or a stick. That's what we want, right? We want to be right next to God, Him upholding us, showing us the direction to point, helping us to grow strong in the right way. Well, sometimes we do like the other two trees, and we're not tethered to anything at all, so then the wind comes and we just start to flop. Or we tether ourselves to something that is not straight, that is not holy, that is not going to stand the test of time, right? And we want to believe that, oh, we're tethered to that, so we're strong. That word on your paper will not keep you tethered and strong and pointed in the right direction, right? And even more so, sometimes we tether off to a few different things. I think this one is even more popular, right? So I'm tethered to my strength of being, well-educated. I tether off to my strength of my family and who they are. I tether off to God, too. Well, right? These are not upholding you, and when tested, they will fade, right? Just sever those and keep this one. Sever it, right? Another little story. So I moved away from Trinidad when I was about 22, and I went to live in Venezuela. And it was the first time, so I was raised by a single mom, but I knew my dad, and he was somebody in the country. He was somebody, meaning he was well known. And but I went away to Venezuela, and nobody knew me. So I felt like the security that I had of having a well-known father and maybe some protection that I envisioned around, well, people know him, so I'm important, or people know him, so if I ever get in trouble, I'll be... All that was lost, right? Because nobody in Venezuela knew me, nobody cared, and that's almost where we need to find ourselves, at a place where we're not tethered to our dad or our mom or our church or our education or we're not tethered to those things, but we could stand strong only tethered to Christ. Amen? Because those things will go. A situation changes, some test comes up, they will diminish and they will crumble and leave you tilted, right? Not straight, not strong. So think of those things, what should we be, because this is a season of awakening. Maybe there are things that we are tethered to that needs to be broken and severed because they're not bringing us life, they're not bringing us joy, or they're not bringing us the right type of life, right? They could be a good thing, but it's not the thing that's going to last. I'm going to leave Philippians up there, but I really want to read Isaiah 40, 29 to 31. It says, He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Promises, promises, promises that we can stand on. Okay. One more little exercise, right? Next to that word, think of a word that describes a personal weakness or challenge. Something that you're struggling with, it's just been that way. So this time when we look at that word, not too much pride associated with it, right? Not too much chest pounding and back patting. That might be where God might want to work. Because who can shine through that? But His love and His strength and His glory. Let's look at something. So I have three pictures up there of something called, it's a Japanese art called kintsugi. And I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, right? Kintsugi is the art of repairing broken pottery with golden lacquer. shattered pieces are put back together and become even more beautiful, laced with gold than when they were originally. It says there, rather than being discarded or lamented for its flaws, an object becomes more treasured than ever, as its disfigurement or defect becomes its strength through the art of kintsugi, adding to its beauty. It says, on the slide, it says, the flaws, chips, repairs, and cracks, this takes it all, reveals a lot more about the owner's relationship with the object as well. How well taken care of they are, how loved, how they are depended upon, and the integral part they play in someone's life. To me, that just speaks of Christ, right? The flaws, the chips, that word on your piece of paper, the repairs, the cracks, they are there to display the owner's relationship with this object. When he repairs those things, and listen, he's not going to use gold because he uses gold on his streets. The streets of heaven is made of gold. So he's not using gold, but something even more precious, right? And we know from the word that he uses the blood of Jesus in the cracks and holes and repairs and everything that's broken in our life. And he uses those cracks and he shines his love through the armor of his light, shines through those cracks, right? Not gold. I mean, gold is good for this. But for me, the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. 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 That is how much we're worth. That is how much. Like, this plate is worth a lot to me, so let me repair it so I can keep it and treasure it and still have it. And it's an important part of my kitchenware. But no, me more, right? Me value more. I'm worth more to him. Let's take it back to the Bible, because kintsugi is good, but let's take it back to the Bible. Ephesians says, for we are God's handiwork, and my friend Shannon told me that in another translation it says, we are God's masterpiece, or piece of the master, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Psalm 84, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose heart are set on pilgrimage. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Amen. We are precious to God, too precious to discard or dismiss. Christ used something else to heal, save, repair, restore, and resurrect. Don't forget it, because you are worth it. The struggles we face, loss, betrayal, heartbreak, disappointment, are a part of our identities and our stories. And rather than hiding the scars that they leave, we should celebrate them. So we wrote one word of strength, and we wrote a word of weakness. And this morning, I got this fresh revelation that those two things are these two sides of the same coin called pride. I'll say that again. Strength and weakness are two sides to the same coin called pride, because we labor over both of them, or we put value in both of them, or we hang our hats. Oh, I'm not good enough to do that. Oh, I'm really good at that. It's all me, 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 coming back to pride. Two sides to the same side of that coin called pride, and we know where pride belongs, right? So what that says is your strengths and your weaknesses, circumstantial. It's what it is. But God is your strength. And that, more than, you know, these little traits or these little habits or these things that we worked on or these things that we struggled through, those are so much smaller than he is, than his blood, than his love, than what he's ready to give us in this awakening moment. He has formed us in the womb. He has created us in his image. He writes our name in the palm of his hand. He goes before us. He works all things for our good. He shall never leave us nor forsake us. He lifts us up on the wings of eagle. We run and we will not grow weary. All those things from someone who is ready to give you strength. Strength is the gift. Awake, awake, put on your strength. Strength is not something you work for, it is the gift. The put on was the verb, remember? We think we have to work for strength, but we do not. It is a gift, and we need to take the lid off of that gift, because sometimes we even make that gift too small, right? You think it's something really small, and it's just what we understand. But when we take the lid off that gift and we see the light coming from it, it will overwhelm all those little strengths and weaknesses that we play around with at this level. Make sense? All right. I was super quick, so join with me. Join with me in raising your voices in this declaration. I am a child of God. He is directing my steps. He is guiding my path. There is nothing that he is unaware of. There is nothing that catches him by surprise. My strength is found in him because I trust. No weapon formed against me wins. My God is mighty. He fights my battles and says to be still. He commands the storm. Everything is subject to him. He is mighty.
He is mighty.
He is powerful. He is strength. He is my strength. He is love. On him I rest. He is a good shepherd. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. It's a gift. It's a gift. We don't have to fight for it as much as we think we have to fight for it. It is a gift. What we need to do is put it on in victory and in celebration. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
Letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.